It is 27 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, and we greet Dr. Don Clark, who comes to us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist by vocation, because you're still a biochemist, even though you're in the wine business now, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I still deal with biochemistry.
Yep. Okay.
I deal with chemistry. I deal with artistry. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. He does the whole deal. He's a horticulturist, too. Raising grapes and irrigation systems and balancing the chemistry. If you did not have a background in biochemistry, would you have to hire somebody who did, or could you just do this?
It'd be making the wine making would be a little trickier for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me, because of the chemistry involved, but also I mean just understanding how yeast, for example, fermentation and the requirements for fermentation and keeping the importance of keeping the yeast happy while they're fermenting.
Happy yeast. We love happy yeast. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to be happy. If they get sad, they're going to produce a lot of
salt. I just don't want to produce the wrong image in people's minds here that you have a white lab coat and Bunsen burners and tubes and vials of things bubbling and stuff. He's got his sleeves rolled up and his hands in the dirt. And although there is some of the test tube kind of stuff too, I have a question for you. Before we're going to talk about green energy today, but this my mind is inflamed with this question, and I can't figure it out. But you, having a scientific background, you probably took even physics, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I took physics.
Well,
I took physics. I took physical chemistry. I took regular chemistry, biochemistry, all kinds of stuff.
He's a member of the board of Creation Moments, too, I should mention. So he's got an excellent background in answering this question for me. When you stand in front of a mirror, you see a mirror image of yourself. And it's the right side is on the left side, and the left side appears on the right side. It's flipped horizontally. Why isn't it flipped vertically, too?
Well, it's a reflection.
Inquiring minds to know.
Oh, my goodness. When you look at the mirror, you're looking, for example, your right ear is really on your right side. It's not on your left side.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's true.
So it's not flipped.
Well, let me rephrase this then. If you were a cyclops and had only one eye, would you see the same phenomenon?
You would. You just wouldn't be able to see depth.
Oh.
You need two eyes to see depth perception.
Okay.
And with a mirror, you don't really see depth perception, obviously.
It turns into a flat reflection. But
it would just be a reflection.
Your mind simulates the perspective aspect when you're looking in a mirror, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because you're so used to seeing in three dimensions.
Okay.
You really, when you have a two-dimensional image reflected back to you, you don't necessarily know how far things are.
But there's a top and a bottom. Experience. How come your chin doesn't appear on top and your forehead on the bottom?
Because it reflects in the same way the light comes in. So, if your right ear, for example, if the light from the right ear bounces the mirror, it's going to bounce the mirror when you're looking at it on the right side, your right side.
Is it like because of the placement of our eyes?
No, it's the laws of physics and optics.
Mm-hmm.
The reflection. It just bounces back.
I'm not sure you're helping me here, Don.
Well, no, you need a lens. Now, if you were talking about lenses, then a convex, concave lens then will invert the image. And so even the lens in your eye, for example, inverts the image.
That's
so what
true.
You're seeing,
now that's upside down, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So what you see is upside down. And it's an interesting phenomenon because if you put on glasses that invert the image, So you first see them inverted, mm-hmm. but after a week or so, the images flip right side up.
Wow.
So your mind reinterprets the image, you know, to be right side up, and it fixes the problem. Of course, the problem is once you take off the glasses, then the image is upside down again.
So, okay. I never realized that. Gee, I'm so glad I asked this question.
Oh, yeah, it was a very important question that we needed answered.
Well, it's a head scratcher, you know. Just standing in front of the mirror for hours wondering, why isn't my forehead on the bottom and the chin on the top? So, yeah. Okay, well, that settles that. Now we can get into green energy here, I think. There's this big, I know it's political and economic. There are all kinds of aspects to this, but one of the aspects is science. And if there is a real need to move from, say, fossil fuels to what they're calling green energy, which means non-polluting energy sources, at least I think that's what it means, what role does science play in this? Did it start with science, or is it now up to science to accomplish it for us?
Well, it started with bad science, because... this whole idea of greenhouse gases and, oh my goodness, the planet's going to heat up. This was in the time where we had the term, I think you probably remember the term, global warming.
Oh, yes.
And then global warming turned into cooling, and then they said, uh-oh, we got global cooling. This doesn't go with our global warming, so we're just going to call it climate change. And so the concept was the more CO2 you pump out, then the more CO2 we have in our atmosphere, and that's going to cause a greenhouse effect, which will warm things because the CO2 will trap the heat from the Earth, and we're going to have the Earth is just going to burn up. Well, you know, eventually we know from the Bible, for example, that the Earth will burn up. At least a third of the Earth will burn up. But it won't be from global warming, and it won't be from carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide, as we've talked about before, is actually a plant food. And so the more carbon dioxide you have, the better the plants grow. And so the answer to increase in fossil fuel burning, for example, which produces carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and other things, is to plant more trees. And this is exactly what President Trump did. He planted more trees. And we were, the United States was almost to the point, if not to the point, of carbon neutral.
That now, is, the trees convert carbon dioxide to oxygen.
Yes,
so it uses
exactly.
up excess carbon dioxide. The more trees, the better. Yep. Okay.
So the trees use the carbon. They fix the carbon, for example, to make leaves and and sugars and various things and other things. All plants do this. Did you know that 80% of the carbon dioxide is actually absorbed and converted to usable carbons by plankton
in the ocean.
So the green stuff in the oceans and in the ponds and in the lakes is actually an anti greenhouse effect because they're absorbing a tremendous amount of carbon dioxide. So the need to get rid of fossil fuels is a farce. Matter of fact, it's it is diabolical in its nature because, as you said, alluded to earlier, it's all political. Now let's go to the question of
let me ask one more science-based question first, though. Is it established by science that the more carbon dioxide residing in the atmosphere means higher temperatures on the Earth?
No. I mean, you know, the water is a better greenhouse gas, if you will, water vapor, than carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is pretty poor greenhouse gas. If you have enough of it, maybe you'll see some temperature change, but again, you know, there are ways around that which are much easier and much quicker to fix and are better for the environment than anything that you would do as an alternative.
Okay, now I don't know how they do this, so but science has established that there are cycles going back through history. I don't know how they go back 500 years and determine what the carbon dioxide level was, but assuming they can do that, they seem to have produced revealed a series of cycles where the Earth warms and then there's an increase in carbon dioxide, or there's an increase in carbon dioxide and then the Earth warms. Have they confused cause and effect perhaps here?
Oh, I think they have. Indeed, they've confused that. And, you know, when the when the Earth cools, for example, you're going to have less plant growth than when the Earth is warming up. So the temperature cycles are much more dependent on such factors as sun activity. So the more sunspots you have and the more sun energy is being produced by the sun, guess what happens to the Earth? It warms up. So there is a very good correlation between the cycles in the sunspots and the cycles in the output of the sun energy, which does cycle, you know, by the way, and what we experience here on Earth as far as temperatures are concerned and wind and storm activity and all of that other stuff. So, to blame it all on carbon dioxide is disingenuous at best, and there's really no real scientific evidence that carbon dioxide is killing the planet, when indeed, like I said, it's a plant food, so if anything, it would be encouraging plant life. Which is a good thing. The more plants you have, and the more agriculture is stimulated, the more food we have to feed people. And so it's not a matter of CO2, and it's not a matter of the switching this energy for the other. So let's talk about alternative energies, sources, because. We're talking about, when the Biden administration came in, they pretty much shut down the oil industry, and for a number of reasons, and they blamed it all on, okay, we're gonna switch. Our main goal is to switch off of the carbon source, and we're gonna either have wind power or solar power. The problem with generating energy here on Earth is that it all has some environmental impact. And, for example, if you go, well, probably now, if you go anywhere, you'll see these big windmills with these huge, huge blades. What do you think those blades are made of? I mean, this, you might say, well, okay, it's aluminum, or it's a, if they're made of hard plastic, for example, then where does the plastic come from? The plastic comes from oil products.
And where does it go as it wears down particle by particle and falls to the ground just with friction from the air?
Where does it go? Well, yeah, it goes in the air. And then, of course, we know that now enough studies have been done. It kills birds and bats and other flying things as those blades are, rotating. And so you have a major environmental impact with just the windmills. And then you have a tremendous, environmental impact if you're talking about solar panels. Because solar panels, and of course the batteries that go along with it, because the sun isn't shining, the sun is shining 24 hours a day, but it's not on the side of the Earth where you happen to be 24 hours. So you've got, at best 8 to 12 hours maybe of sunlight. and that worth a lot less. And then so whatever solar energy you collect during that period of time, you have to store it, and you have to store it in these highly toxic batteries, which contain very toxic metals.
Which means the manufacturing process would necessarily involve a great deal of toxic waste.
A great deal of toxic waste, and to get these these metals, they're not necessarily readily available everywhere, and they cause a tremendous amount of destruction to the environment.
Let's talk about the specifics here, and by the way, I want to let people know there is a link to the article that has inspired our conversation this morning. It's a Cornwall Alliance article. The link is in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. Let me just read to you part of it here that describes the first stage of President Biden's offshore wind energy program. Now, that program alone, the article reads, would require 110,000 tons of non-renewable copper, plus millions of tons of cobalt, lithium, nickel, aluminum, iron, manganese, rare earth elements, platinum, plastics, concrete, and that suddenly very visible and valuable metal, nickel. Now, his plan calls for 30,000 megawatts of offshore wind energy by the year 2030, just 8 years from now. That's 2,140 monstrous 850-foot-tall 14-megawatt turbines. Now, it sounds like a lot of electricity, but it wouldn't even meet New York State's peak summertime electricity needs, and they generate zero electricity for half the year. So how efficient is this plan?
It's ludicrous, really. I mean, it is absolutely ludicrous, the amount of destruction that you have to do to the earth in order to mine those metals, for example, in order to get this get this thing to work. And of course, you know, we're not going to mine it here. We're going to let China mine it out of such places like Afghanistan and other places, and then Since China and Russia will have these metals that we desperately need in order to, put all of this stuff together, then we'll become dependent on what we think is our enemies. And if they want a regime change here in the United States, all they have to do is hold us hostage to these metals and saying, no, you can't have any more until you do this, or you can't, you've got to have this person in your government, and we want a seat at your table in order to get these metals. So, you know, we're being told that, oh, this will be so good for the environment. It isn't. And then how much energy do you need to move, you know, hundreds of thousands of tons, if not, they have here, for example, just mining copper, 40 million tons of overburden and processing, 2,500 tons of oil. I mean, of ore.
25 million tons.
25 million tons. Mm-hmm. This is all million tons. Just to produce enough energy to generate the amount of electricity needed for the state of Washington for half the year. I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, how much energy do you need to put into this in order to dig up all of that, plus the land that you're destroying and the animals that are being displaced and killed in the process? It's not environment. There's nothing environmentally friendly about any of this. So, you know, we're being duped to say, oh, well, this is clean, renewable energy, when indeed there's nothing clean about it, and there's nothing renewable about it, because, you know, once you've dug this big hole in order to get your copper, you've got to reclaim the land, which then is another, big process. I mean, we have experience here in the United States because of the coal strip mining process And you know, the with the coal industry, they were regulated to the fact that, okay, you dug this big hole, you got the coal out, and now you need to put it back, and you need to put it's got to be clean earth that you need to put back, and we, you know, it needs to be to the point of we can grow crops on it again, because it was all cropland before they dug the hole in the first place. Mm-hmm. And but do you think that's going to happen in Afghanistan or in Africa or any other place where these heavy metals are? You know, not a chance. And so these poor people in these countries, while they get a short-term benefit of having China, for example, build them some roads that's going to last 2 or 3 years because they build them so thin and so cheaply. And then once that's gone, then they're back to their decrepit roads to begin with. But they have their land raped by all of this process to get these heavy metals. I mean, they get these metals out of the ground. I mean, it's just ludicrous, this whole thing. And it is, you know, you call it the Green New Deal or, you know, environmentally friendly. There's nothing environmentally friendly about any of this.
Mm. And this article starts off with a rather detailed analysis of what the current administration in the U.S. has done to suppress the oil industry. And it's more than just the Keystone XL pipeline. It's more than just the slow walk permits. And they've actually pressured financial institutions to deny funding to fossil fuel companies, imposing a social cost of carbon rules and carbon taxes and windfall profit taxes. So this is burgeoned into a huge political snafu, and I'm wondering where the voice is that's going to shut this down. It's got to come from us, I think, because I'm not sure what other country has the power or the smarts to oppose this movement, if I can call it a movement, because there's no logic there. How do you argue against something where there's no logic? And the logic is inverted. I mean, yeah, it's wrong, you know.
It's wrong. It's another political snafu. I mean, to shut down the oil industry. Okay, so what did shutting down the oil industry? One, the Biden administration has lied about that they didn't have any role in the higher fuel costs. And anyone who believes that they didn't have a role is kidding themselves, because of what Biden administration did and Biden did when he first got into office by saying, okay, we're not gonna give any more permits. We're gonna do these things to make it near impossible for you to produce oil, because when you produce oil, before you produce oil, you have to generate an environmental impact study to show that, okay, here are the risks in drilling for this oil, but you need to track that from the time you take it out of the ground until the consumer uses it in his automobile or his factory, and the environmental impact of that. I mean, this is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see one environmental impact study of this so-called green energy in comparison what they're asking or what they're demanding, not asking, demanding the energy companies to do, and have them have the green energy people require them. Oh, so to
see,
do
you
the
you
same
may
thing.
You may have just hit on the antidote to this. We need an administration, a political atmosphere where we make the same requirements of them that we do of the petroleum industry.
That's right. Exactly. And, of course, the current administration is not going to do that. You need somebody with enough guts because, you know, all of this foolishness, the foolishness with the we haven't talked about COVID, but the foolishness with the with COVID and the restrictions and the vaccines and all of this really, you know, started years ago. But, you know, is generated out of the World Economic Forum and is included in their documents on the on their website. So they needed a crisis, and the virus was a convenient one that was actually manufactured. Now we know without a shadow of a doubt it was manufactured in China and probably, you know, released purposefully at the specific time that it was to impact someone's re-election, because he was actually opposing all of this foolishness and, you know, was holding other countries accountable. Mm-hmm. But the you know, Davos and the World Economic Forum, for example, already, you know, says plans. Look, we got the major things are crisis like wars, for example, like we got in Ukraine and the COVID pandemic. And then also we really need to hit hard on this environmental issue because that's going to drive us into the 2030 reset of the global economy. And so this is really what's behind all of this, and it has nothing to do with science as we started the discussion today.
And we're just getting warmed up. We haven't had a chance to. We've talked about green energy before. We've talked often in years past about a fundamental change in lifestyle, not so much it has to do with petroleum, but more like farming and feedlots and food supply, lots of things that we can do to simplify and to clean up our act, so to speak, without shutting down the things that help us and fuel the economy. So there's a whole different aspect that we can get into again on this. I hope we'll be able to do that in the coming weeks. Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments. Their website is creationmoments.com. And we often talk about the biblical story of creation. There at creationmoments.com, you'll find lots of materials that provide scientific support for the biblical story of creation. You might want to pay them a call. You can link to them from our website on Broken Road Radio. Don, thanks very much. There's so much we haven't covered. Maybe we can dip into this again next week and in the ensuing weeks and take a look at some of those more positive alternatives as well.
All right. Okay. That sounds great. And we will see you next week.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
So long.